Thank you. If you have your Bible, will you turn with me to the book of Colossians? Colossians, the first chapter. We are still in Colossians, the first chapter, as we study through this great book. We're going to begin in the 24th verse. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which has given me to you, for you, to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from the ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me again as we pray. Father, we would that you would take our hearts, that you would mold us, Father, into your image, that you would teach us how to be your best. God, make a difference in us today. Father, I would pray that after this service that we would be more like Jesus, that we would be more directed in your path. And I thank you for all that you will do. In Jesus' name, amen. Wouldn't you like to be better? I mean, wouldn't you like to be the absolute best you can be? I mean, not just passing through life, not just kind of easing around things, but being the very best. Knowing in your heart that you've accomplished what you could accomplish, knowing that you've done what you needed to do, and knowing that if you go before God, God would say, well done. Paul is writing about a Christian life that is all that God desires for a believer. He's writing about a life that's far from what the normal person experiences. He's writing about a life that is available to anyone who will accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And he's going to tell us a mystery. In verse 26, he says, the mystery that has been hidden. In verse 27, God willed to make known what are the riches of glory of this mystery. The word mystery would have gained the attention of everyone listening in that day when they first read this letter. They would have perked up their ears because they were accustomed to mysteries. There were mystery religions all around them in that culture. Mystery religions where people could not really know what was happening. Only a few actually knew. Paul is going to take this word out of that culture and he's going to use it for the gospel. Mystery. In the Greek, we get the word mum, like mum's the word. It means shutteth thy mouth spiritually. It's the being quiet about certain things. Paul takes this term and he uses mystery to mean a truth of God that there's no way you could know it unless God himself reveals it. In Deuteronomy 29:29, we have the gist of this kind of mystery. He says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do the works of the law. God has some things that are a mystery. Do you know everything? No. And just in case you wanted to answer yes, I wanted to answer that for you. No, you don't know everything. I don't know everything. Your spouse doesn't know everything. There are some things in this world that are kept mysteries. In my life, there are mysteries. My dad died at the age of 48. A young guy, a vibrant individual, a firefighter, 48. My mom died at 68. Can I tell you the reason is a mystery to me? I would have liked nothing better than for them to have lived on and for them to be here today, but for some reason, it was their time to go. For me, a mystery. From time to time, I will get a terrible call and I will deal with a family who has a child that is deathly sick. Children hit by cars, children taken by disease, and the parents turn to me and want to know why, and I've got to tell them, I don't know. It's a mystery. There are certain things that you would just not ever know on planet Earth. Now, you can fight that truth or you can accept that truth, but at the end of the day, it'll still be truth. So what I want you to do is I want you to stop fretting about things that are mysteries to you. Stop tormenting yourself over things that you will never know the answer to in this life. There are too many things God has given us that we can know. The Bible does reveal some mysteries. He reveals the mystery of the cross. To those on the earth, it just looked like a fellow died a violent death on the cross. But to us, we know that fellow was not just anybody. That was God come to earth. That was God become man who dwelt among us, who lived a perfected life, who gave himself on Calvary's cross for your sin and my sin. And when he died, it was because he chose to die because he wanted to give us a way that we might be saved. A mystery that God has revealed. The church is a mystery in itself. The thought that people from all kinds of life, all types of life, all types of cultures can come together in one place and come together on the person of Jesus Christ can become family. When we have many things that are not in common. Well, mysteries. In these verses, Paul's going to reveal a mystery, a truth that God has made known. It's the mystery of how God can make us everything we want to be, everything we should be, everything God desires for us to be. I've had a lot of people tell me, well, preacher, I'd accept Jesus, but I don't think I can live that life. Others say, well, I would come to Jesus, but I don't want to be a hypocrite. Well, let me clear it up for you. You can't live the life, and everybody is a hypocrite sometimes. What we can't do on our own, God has made a way for us to do. The Christian life can be lived successfully. You can be victorious in this life. You can have joy and peace in this life. You can have power to get through the difficulties of this life. In verse 27, he says, "What are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." It's a simple little statement. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, but so much meaning is there. In this little statement, we have what can take care of your life and take care of you no matter what your life faces. In this simple little statement, we have the truth of the presence of Jesus in your life. When you come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ comes to live within your life. Wow, what a concept. This is one of those mind-blowing concepts. Jesus, Almighty God, comes to dwell in you. Who are you? Well, I know I'm a nobody, but I'm a nobody that Jesus came to live in. This chapter has revealed that Jesus is the creator of all things. He is the one above all things. It tells us that Jesus is the one who gave life. He has all power. Jesus is the Savior who died on the cross for our sins and was buried to take our sins away. Now, he tells us, this same Jesus has come to live in the hearts of all of those who will receive him as their Savior and Lord. When we come to Jesus, our spiritual position changes. Now, we talked earlier in this study about position. You should know by now that you are in Columbus in your position. You are in Northside Baptist Church in your position. Well, that's your physical position. We want more people to be in Columbus in Northside Baptist Church. I need you to bring them in. But we not only want to be in the church in Columbus, we want to have a spiritual position. And a spiritual position that is profitable is to be in Christ. Verse 2 says, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. That's the spiritual condition. I got news for you. Today you are either in Jesus or you're lost. You're in Jesus or you're purposeless. You're in Jesus or you're hellbound. It makes a big difference to be in Jesus. I hope today that you're in Jesus. I hope if you're not, by the time we get through, that you will come to be in Jesus. Our spiritual position, if we know Jesus is our Savior, is to be in Jesus. Jesus comes to be in us, to live within our hearts. In John 14:20, it says, at that day, you will know, Jesus says, you will know, I am in the Father, you are in me, and get this, I am in you. Jesus Christ has come to live in the hearts of believers. Now, I know we talk about having Jesus in your heart, having Jesus in you. You've heard the terms over and over again, but you just need to think for a moment of what this has to mean. Almighty God, who made it all, comes to dwell in you. God didn't leave you on your own. Some people have this idea. They walk down an aisle, they get dunked in a pool, and they're good to go, and God goes his way, and you go your way. Oh, no. Oh, no. You see, what Jesus saves, he stays with. And so Jesus not only saves you from your sin, he comes to live in your heart to direct you into having a life that's worth living. Jesus comes to live in your heart. We're not our own. We belong to him. I don't know about you, but I can't always stand against temptation on my own. I can't always be victorious in troubles. But I have Jesus in my heart. Ephesians 3:17 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. It's faith that allows Jesus to come into your heart. You believe in him. That's faith. You trust him. You invite him to come into your heart, and he does. Now, how is that possible? I mean, he is the creator of all things. I mean, Jesus is really big. Jesus has all power. He holds all things together. How in the world can he fit in me? Now, granted, I have a good bit of room, but not that much room. How could it be possible that Almighty God could come and dwell in me? I know the sun's not shining very bright outside today. Well, it is above the clouds, but have you ever glanced up at the sun? The sun is very big. We look at it from a distance and it's very big. It's far greater as you would get closer to it. But you know what happens in our house? In our house, we live in a tri-level. The bottom level can be kind of dark. We have blinds on the windows. I'm married to a lady that does not like it to be dark. And so when I come into the downstairs, she's opened the blinds. And though it's a good-sized room, but let me tell you, the sun has the power to bring light into every corner of that room. Even a small room, if you will just open the curtains or open the blinds, the light of the sun will fill it up. Listen, Jesus can fill you up. He can come into your heart, into your life, fill every corner of your life, and make you what you should be. Jesus is in your life if you're a believer. If you will yield to Him, how do you yield to Him? By faith. You trust Him. You decide that you're going to follow Him. Then He will guide you and direct you that you might be successful in your life. I can live as I ought through Christ who is in me. Have you ever been around some people that were just not very lovable? There are some people that are just hard to love. Maybe they're in your family, I don't know, but they're just hard to love. And sometimes on my own, I find it very hard to love people as I ought. But you know what? With Jesus in me, I can love them exactly as I should love them, because it's not me loving them. It's Jesus who is in me that's going to love them no matter who I am or how I think, because He is the lover that's in me. And I have trouble forgiving sometimes. You know what they did? And sometimes what they did is despicable and it's horrible, and many times they did it to me, and how can I forgive that? Well, what I can't forgive, Jesus can forgive, because He is in me and He is a forgiving God and He will forgive them through me. I would like to be able to give just freely without thought, just give, tithe and beyond. And sometimes, you know, when the bank account might not look right, it may be hard to struggle with that. Oh, but Jesus is a giver. And Jesus is in me, and Jesus will direct me, and Jesus in me can help me to give. When I have trouble thinking about telling somebody about Jesus, about witnessing, in myself, I'm shy. In myself, I don't want to open my mouth. In myself, I don't want to be embarrassed. Oh, but I have Jesus in me, and Jesus is willing to come and speak through me because He wants that soul saved. You see, everything changes when we yield to the one that we've allowed to come into our life, if we will just yield to Him and let Him run our life. We will find there's power for victory because He is in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory, that is the presence of Jesus in your life. Christ in you, the hope of glory, that is the power of Jesus in your life. All the power that Jesus has is available to those of us who have Jesus. Isaiah 40, 31 is a great verse. It says, "But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." It says we shall renew our strength. Mount up with wings as eagles. You know, eagles can soar very high for a very long time. And you would think doing that their feathers would just wear out. And you know what? You'd be right. They do. And what they do is they kind of preen those feathers, those old worn feathers, and new feathers grow in their place, and they can soar even higher. Their strength is renewed. You can exchange your weakness, your weak, worn out feathers, if you will. You can exchange them for the strength and power of Jesus Christ. You don't have to move through things in your own strength. You don't have to face the struggles on your own. You don't have to get through an illness in your own power. You don't have to stand in the misery of seeing a loved one pass on your own or by yourself, because Jesus can give you the power. He can hold you up in the difficult circumstances of life. There are times we just need to soar. There's times we just need to ride high, and we can't do that on our own. We have to allow Jesus to carry us. In Colossians 1:24, Paul says, "I now rejoice in my sufferings for you. Fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of the body, which is the church." Paul had tough times. He had afflictions. He had difficulties, and they came his way. You know, there were times that Paul was beaten within an inch of his life. There were times people thought actually Paul had been beaten to death. They drug him outside the city once and left him for dead. You know what Paul did when he came to his senses, when he woke up? He went back in the city and continued to tell people about Jesus. How in the world was Paul able to carry these afflictions and carry the gospel of Jesus in spite of them? Because of the power of Christ that was in him. What Jesus dealt with on the cross was worse than what anyone will ever face in life. But you know, there are people that have to face pretty hard things in life. Jesus in you can empower you to make it through the suffering times, to make it through the difficult times, to make it through the tough times. His power, not your power. We don't have a lot of power. His power. There are times when you need strength that is above your ability so that you can mount up with wings as eagles. It is his strength. The good news is you don't have to go looking for new feathers. You got Christ in you. You got more power in you than you could ever need. Isaiah 40 says, "They shall run and not be weary." I don't know if you know this, but Mark, who leads our music, does such a great job. He is a marathoner, and he runs. But I'll tell you the secret. He runs and he gets weary. Years ago, I was in a marathon and completed a marathon, and I ran and I got weary. My brother called me after the marathon and asked me if I could stand up. I said, absolutely not. We have a mutual friend for many of us, Kelly Bracken. Kelly Bracken is a pacer for marathons. The girl never gets tired. She runs and runs, and then she runs and runs and runs some more. But greater than all of that is God, who created us to start with, knows how we operate. He can pick us up. He can get us through. When we're weary, he never will be. He can move us far further than we would ever dream that we could ever go. You look back and you wonder, how in the world did I ever get through that? It was the power of God that got you through. And if you're wondering how you're going to get through what you're facing now, let me tell you, if you're a believer, it is the power of God that will get you through. They shall walk and not faint. You know, when we have a bad time, when we have a great catastrophe, we immediately turn to Jesus. It's what we do in reflex, and we turn to Jesus, and we should. But sometimes when we're going through the mundane day-to-day stuff, we leave Jesus out. And it's the little stuff sometimes that gets us. and we faint. Listen, we need to be following Jesus in the hard times. We need to be following Jesus when the times aren't so hard. We need to be trusting him whatever befall. Trusting Jesus, that is all. And if we will trust him, you'll begin to understand, I need Jesus all the time. I don't just need him on Sundays. I need him all through the week. I don't just need him in the morning. I need him through the midnight hours. I need him every hour. And may I tell you, the Jesus that comes to live in your heart as a believer will always be there all the time. And he is an on-time God. Yes, he is. Christ in you, the presence of Jesus in your life. Christ in you, the power of Jesus in your life. Christ in you, the prospect of Jesus in your life. Oh, it just gets better. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus brings to you all you need to have the very best possible life here and now and beyond. He brings to you the glory of God. Now, this verse can help you in times of loneliness. Ever feel lonely? There may be some times when you feel like you're all by yourself. I want you to know, you got Jesus, you can't be by yourself. You have Jesus, he is in you. He hasn't left. He's never going to leave. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You get bad news, he's right there. You get good news, he's right there. This verse deals with loneliness. Christ in you means anywhere you go, he's there. Anytime you're up, he's there. Anytime you're down, he's there. This verse deals with our inferiority complexes. Ever have that? Ever think I'm not worthy? Ever think I just can't do anything? Inferior. You know, I'm inferior in many, many ways. But I am somebody because Jesus loves me. I'm somebody because Jesus died for me. I'm somebody because Jesus came to live in me. Oh, you know, this verse can help us with temptations. Temptations greater than you can bear. They're not greater than Jesus can bear. You just need to pay attention to Jesus. He can take you successfully through. In our hearts as believers, we have Jesus. You may be worried. Can I tell you, Jesus is not worried. You may not be able, but he has all ability. We can live the way God wants us to live. We can have joy and peace no matter what we face. We can have victory in the face of defeat. The hope of glory deals with our future. We sometimes get concerned about the future. Ever worry about the future? I mean, in the future sometime, you're going to die. You know, Jesus may come back for you, and if Jesus comes for all of us, praise God for that. Come quick, Lord, I'm ready. But if not, you're going to suffer death. I'm going to suffer death. Is there any hope for that? Death, leaving people behind? And let's just be honest. For many of us, it's not about the dying, it's about the leaving, because we don't want to leave the people that we love. And we don't trust a lot of you to do what you're supposed to do without us. That's just truth. Is there hope when we face that kind of end? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Listen, that includes your spirit, it includes your body, it includes your soul. Romans 8:11 says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Listen, as a believer, you may die physically, but hey, it's just a change of address. And the God who can take care of you through death can take care of the people for you that you leave behind. It is that same powerful God who is able to give you your best life now that is able to give you your best life in what is to come. In Psalm 17:15, he says, "As for me, I will behold your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with your likeness." One of these days, we will see the Jesus that has been in us. One of these days, we will see the Jesus who went to Calvary for us. One of these days, we will see Jesus who rose for us. One of these days we will see him, and you know what? We won't have to hide because he's already removed our sin from us and he has paid for it all. We are forgiven. We are before him in heaven, and we will be with him forever, and it will be glory, glory, glory. And what he has for us there, oh, what a wonder it will be. Until then, got Jesus, got him in your heart. He will never leave you. He won't let you down. He is always there. You just got to be smart enough to turn to him. You got to be smart enough to let him have it. Just let him take control. And in his taking control, you will have victory. But what if you don't have Jesus? If you don't have Jesus, he's not in your heart. If you don't have Jesus, there is no hope of glory. If you don't have Jesus, there is no help in this life. If you don't have Jesus, there is no heaven ahead. Come to Jesus. Come accept the one who gave himself for you. If you don't know without a shadow of a doubt that you've invited Jesus into your heart, I plead with you right now, give him your heart. Invite him to come into your heart and save your soul, to forgive your sins. He will do those things. He went to Calvary to accomplish what is necessary to be able to do those things. And once you have asked him to save you, he will come to live within you. And you have the source of victory from that point on, right here. Would you take Jesus as your Savior today? Let's stand for prayer. Father, I ask now that you would move within our hearts, that you would draw us to decisions that we need to make. Father, for Christians, Father, that have been struggling with different things in life, Father, just to be willing to know that you are in us and you haven't forgotten us. And Father, you can take us through what is in front of us. Oh God, it seems insurmountable, and it is insurmountable for us. But help us to know it's not insurmountable for you. There's victory in you. And Father, for those that do not know Jesus, that have never invited Jesus to come into their hearts to save their souls, that this would be their moment, this would be their day, that they would be willing to come forward and say, "I want Jesus." Father, that they would be willing to open their hearts and ask Jesus to come into their heart to save their soul, to forgive their sins. Guide them to that decision that can give them victory for whatever tomorrow holds. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing, would you come?